Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Okay.
Sorry. Everybody else sounds good. All right. We're back. I'm back. I was not lying last week. I actually got called to jury duty. I was not accepted, though.
Do they tell you why you're not accepted?
Yeah, they did. They said, you're just too good of a person. Just kidding. No, it was funny because we sat there for 3 hours and they're like, actually, all the cases settled out of court, so we don't need anyone now.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. She's like, this barely ever happens. We had 7 cases and they all decided to not go to trial.
Where is the county courthouse?
Clayton.
I figured. Okay.
So they don't even keep you on retainer for next time? Like,
nope.
They don't have a...
I'm
they
done
have to
for
get a
2
whole...
years now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. What a gift.
I know. It's nice. So
if I ever get called to jury duty, I'd be like, I'm a priest. I have opinions. And they'll be like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
If I ever get called to jury duty, I'll be like, I'm a layperson. I have opinions. And they'd be like, okay, bye. Anyways. Maybe we should strike that from the record. Yeah.
They're going to come for you.
No one's going to mess with you. That's
right. Am I even old enough to be called for jury duty?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I've never been called.
You could be drafted into the military. Yeah, almost.
Probably, but probably
isn't
not.
Isn't it just 18 and valid driver's license is usually how they find you.
For jury duty?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how they find you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have both those going for me. Right. So.
They did say that. They're like, you're either here because of your driver's license or something else. I don't remember the other one.
Sure.
Do they play Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It takes a long time with as many people as there.
And then they're just going.
I'm going to close my eyes.
How do you
spin in a circle?
My mother told me to pick the very best one, and you are
it.
Not it. Not because you're dirty. Not because. And then you just. We used to play this, like, that was the most cruel trick as a child to do that. If you're playing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe for your team and you realize you're going to get stuck with the sucker, you're like, I'm not going to have this guy on my team.
Not because you're dirty, and not then because you're clean.
There's always the sick trick at the end of the Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Miny, Moe where it's like, you are not it.
You are
it. And it's like, oh, that was dirty. But when you're 7 and you're precocious, you figure these things out.
That's right. Luckily, the justice system doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Thank goodness. So I'll never know. Maybe next time.
Well, not at least not in the next 2 years. Yeah, you won't
next
know.
Next 2 years. I get called like every 2 years. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
They really want me, but they don't. Because I get out of it every single time. All right. Let's get back on to topic.
Speaking of what the topic is.
Yeah. Love.
Okay.
Love.
It's going to be raw, people. That's what you always get here at St. Clair.
Raw love. Gets down in all those crevices.
So we've got ideas. Shana's got a lot of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try and tie it all together. And it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about such a loose structure like this, though, is that the topics or conversations sort of come from things that we experience every day and that spark our imagination, and I think that's one that's going to happen today. Shana has a specific story that's kind of cute.
I love it's so broad, and we just kind of direct it wherever. Father Andrew's like, as long as we end at a place, I'm like, I hope so. So, I was tucking Hadley in one night, and I was like, they listened to the Catholic Arsonist, all of them, every single night. So I'm
at
like,
what do you mean every single night?
Like, at their hey, Alexa plays.
Like, hey, Alexa.
Yeah, play the Catholic Arsonist.
They just want to hear mom's voice.
Yep. Emmeline does that.
Lorelai.
Greg falls asleep to the sound of our voices.
No, and not Greg. He does not opt in.
Oh, okay.
The family listening.
I was imagining Bella.
Well, Bella,
no, Bella doesn't sleep.
Bella sleeps in Hadley's room, so actually she does.
Oh, wow. That's cute.
So I turned to her one night and I said, What do you want to hear us talk about? She's like, I want you to talk about how much you love me. And I was like, that's funny. Okay, I like it. And then I took some time to think about it. I was like, she just wants me to hear, she wants me to say how much I love her. And I was like, that is just so amazing that this little voice of a child is like, just tell me you love me. And then I think about all of us and how we just want to be loved, and we want people to tell us that they love us, whether we're doing something good or we're falling on hardship. We want to be loved. And so I thought that would be a great topic to talk about. And I thought it'd be great if we just kind of all shared our own ways of being loved and how we have found God's love in our life. So I don't have
How do you show that to Hadley?
How do I show that to Hadley? Lots of kisses and hugs. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Lots of snuggling, caring for her.
I just had a funeral before this, and at the end of the prayers at the gravesite, it's always kind of like there's just a stillness in the air, and oftentimes, like, I'll touch the casket for many reasons, but also to first of all, symbolize that, like, it's over, like, what's happened, it's over, like, I'm going to touch mm-hmm. the casket so that they know it's kind of done. But then also people are often mystified by the casket. They don't know how to approach it or anything like that. And one of the granddaughters, who's, I found out, is very secular, asked the funeral director, like her grandma, you know, can I touch the casket? And the director said, yeah, of course. And she, like, with both hands, like, leans on the casket. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's beautiful, because mm-hmm. that's her, like, she could have said, I love you, Grandma.
Yeah.
Even in her heart, she could have said that. But, like, just even touching the casket, I thought it's sacramental. You mm-hmm. know, like, I'm going to show affection by my body, by touching you, by mm-hmm. sharing that with you that way. So mm-hmm. even that you would say that, like, first of all, like, how you show affection is, how you show love is bodily.
Mm-hmm. Physical, like, hugs, kisses, snuggles. Yeah. And this is way off topic, but it's funny because all of my kids, we have a different handshake. And so, like, every time I leave, we all have to do our different handshake. And that's kind of a way of me showing that I love them. Like, we have this special thing, like, between me and you. And so then I just started thinking about, well, how have I been showing love to get to, like, where I am right now to know that God loves me? And I would have to say, cop out answer is that my parents have loved me so much growing up mm-hmm. and seeing all the sacrifices that they've given kind of shows me that sacrificial love that I kind of carried over into adulthood. And so that I learned that love is sacrificing. Mm. Like, you can't think about yourself to fully love somebody else, just like God kind of sacrificed mm-hmm. his life for us. Lots of hugs. Mm-hmm. was a great way that my parents showed me that they loved me. Opportunities, giving us room to grow, or giving me room to grow. I didn't have any siblings, so giving me room to grow by guiding me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I think as I've become a parent, I kind of try to help my kids with that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I try to teach them, like, my love's unconditional. So I really want it to be, but then sometimes you're like, you weren't supposed to do that. I still love you, but why mm-hmm. did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then Hadley sometimes was like, well, I won't love you if you don't let me have that cookie. I was like, well, then that's not unconditional love, is it? No, it's not.
She says that to
love you,
Hadley. As bait?
Yes, to try to get her away. Well, I won't love you, because she knows it hurts when she says she doesn't love me. And so she thinks I'm just going to fold.
She started out on this podcast so strong. I know. You don't give her the cookie then, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
And then I go into the talk like, well, that's not really unconditional love. Like, you know, Jesus gives you unconditional love. Yeah. She's a good girl, though. But so how have you gotten
I was done? Actually thinking about that with unconditional love today, whenever I was thinking about this. But, like, with just the way that God loves us, and I think it's profoundly true that God doesn't place conditions on us in the way that he loves us. And that is just so contrary to the way that I operate. You know, it's like, if I don't like people, you know what I do? I find ways in which I don't have to be around them. And that's like, that's the dark human side of me that I don't particularly like.
Mm-hmm.
But like, just to think, God is primarily, like, his first movement is always towards us. And that's like his only movement towards us, even if we're the most scornful being on the planet. Like, God is only for us. And it's just so counter to what we, how we as humans operate. If there's someone who kind of frustrates us, drives us nuts, like, we choose not to, it's natural that we're not friends with them. But then typically things that we don't experience as being loving or joyful or anything like that, we kind of push away. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not how God loves. And that is a stinking miracle. Like, I was just marveling at that. It's like, you're constantly for us. Like, you are actively engaged with every person, and you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't have to be, but that's like totally who he is. Unconditional. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, unmerited on our part. Like, we did nothing to deserve that, but he just chooses us time and time again. Mm-hmm. Every time. Mm-hmm. And that, like, that's the way that the Lord Jesus, that's why how Jesus calls us to love, right? Love one another as I have loved you. Remain in my love. Love one another as I have loved you. It's like, well, how has Jesus loved us? Like same way God does. Like, he chooses us preferentially. And he loves us too much to let us lie in our own sin, but he also understands us in our sin too and our weaknesses. And that's what we're called to do. Like, be the hands and feet of Jesus and to love as he loves. But then the question you ask is, well, that's really hard. So
yeah.
what is the foundation for that in everyone's life?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. We started this kind of jokingly about talking about jury duty and things like that, and whether or not we're able to receive someone like without bias, you know? Mm-hmm. And to what Shana was just saying about like having a solid foundation of love growing up that allows you to sort of flourish and mature properly. I think it's so, this is totally like my family, the culture I was raised in, but it's so easy to just like turn on the news and be wrapped up in the things that are passing by day in and day out. And I mean, it's all sort of like fear mongering at this point, like the news media is. And to recognize things going on in the world and allow ourselves to get worked up about them and cast a judgment on the decisions and actions and just circumstances of others. And I'm not saying that we aren't called to form an opinion or form, like, there is such a thing as justice and there is such a thing as like prudent judgment and calling one another higher. But there's also a thing, as what Father's saying, of looking at the world and our situation through the lens of mercy and understanding that the person on the other side of the screen might not have received the same foundation of love that I received. Does that mean that their actions are permissible? No. But what it means is that I am able to be more grateful for the love that I have received. Mm-hmm. And two, it's also a high call to like get over everything else out there. And like, you have people, there's people in this room right now that the Lord is asking me to love, the people that I work with, the teens, my family. Yeah. And I think it's easier to cast judgment on distant problems than it is to love the people in front of you. And I'm like the first person to say that I can do that as well, you know, and form opinions. But mm-hmm. What was the question you asked? I'm sorry. I started going on a tangent.
Like, what is your foundation of love?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's what it goes back to, is that like when I'm having these conversations around Thanksgiving with my family and we're getting all in a tizzy about these politics and everything. And I'm able to, in that moment, thanks be to God, say like, I have received like this structure right here that I'm with, even having a family meal, like, and a father and a mother who have raised me a certain way has allowed me to be able to see this issue, this circumstance, with a certain level of clarity that someone who has not experienced that level of love and support might not see the world that way, right? So, yeah, I think it's, it doesn't make us incapable of love, not having that same foundation, but we all have things we need to overcome because we're all called to be Jesus Christ in the world. I don't, that's not very specific, but I'll let somebody else talk.
No, I like it. That makes me think of, since you've had that love, you have like a core group you can trust, and people that haven't received that love, they don't know who to trust anymore. So then they grow older and older, and they just keep locking themselves in because they're like, I don't know if I can trust you because I've never like truly felt loved.
Yeah. Well, I have thoughts.
I love your thoughts.
And I don't know how much it actually contributes to the conversation, but I'm like allergic to affirming kids based primarily on their actions, or in other words, how they perform.
Yeah.
And it's like you did great on XYZ, you know, it's like, okay, it's affirming, but what it reinforces in them is like, I get affirmed when I do good,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if you're not ever affirmed other than that, like if you're not shown tangible love, even when you fail, then you get from a very young age, you're indoctrinated into a pattern of behavior that I'm only loved if I do good. And then of course, like you become a teenager, it's like, I am only loved if people like me, you know, and then like, I'm only like loved if I have the attention of other people. And then you get to your job and it's like, I need to perform because that's how I have only ever received affection ever, you know? And things can really spiral. And I think honestly, most adults in America, at least, who are engaging their spiritual life as adults are probably working through some of those things with the Lord. It's like, I don't want to have to perform for you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, like this relationship is not built on performance. This relationship is built on responding to you who already love me without condition, you know? And so I think that's one huge trap for that parents, and it's hard. It's like the language that you use with your children is actually really important. And it's tricky. Like I know all these parents like really do love their children, but the way that sometimes it can be expressed, there's something latent in there that can confuse people, mm-hmm. confuse children. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And just listening to your words, I'm thinking to myself, like, we always strive to strive for perfection, kind of,
yeah.
And pleasing people and everything. I'm thinking to myself, like, it's exhausting. It's just physically and mentally exhausting trying to, like, strive for perfection. But mm-hmm. to know that at the end of the day, like, God loves me no matter what. And you can just sit and yeah. relax and know that, okay, it's going to be okay. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of, you have to think about, I don't have to.
Yeah. Because being loved for what you do is such a fickle, fickle relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm like, that would be, you know, like, that's why people can't take vacation sometimes or can't rest. It's like, I have to be doing something. That's how, where I receive my,
mm-hmm.
Whatever, my, what's the word I'm looking
love,
for?
My security.
Like, yeah, my security, my sense of like being worthwhile in the world. Yeah. And it's like, if you're only loved for the things that you do and not for who you are, then that's a real problem, you know, mm-hmm. because there's so much more to you than just what you do. You know, you are not, certainly you're not your occupation,
mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to unearth there, you know. And that's why you, I mean, especially for children, children have no productive thing about them. They don't, they don't actually
leeches.
Really, they really don't contribute at all. They're especially like, they're quite literally the weakest in society. And so it's almost like a cruel thing to put that on a child, like to start it that early, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, we love you just because of who you are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't have to be anything or do anything to earn our love, mm-hmm. you know, like. Just continue to smile, continue exactly. to be yourself. We're going to watch you grow and you're going to fall at times, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord, that's how he loves us. But I think also, I think adults think they're too sophisticated for that kind of thing. And I mean,
we know everything.
Sophisticated is like a proper word. It's like sophists, the sophists in Greek, who are those who are unwilling to actually dialogue with anything that introduced weakness or obscurity or the possibility of vulnerability. And the sophists were like this elite class of the Greek upper echelon. And it's like, but they were all liars and deceitful and everything like that. And it's like,
they're denying humanity.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, are you too sophisticated to have real emotions? Mm-hmm. You know, are you too sophisticated to be able to show your weakness in front of somebody else? Are you too sophisticated to be concerned for other people's health and mental health, you know? And I think no one's above that, you know? So mm-hmm. that's something that's kind of lacking.
I ain't sophisticated.
I had a moment like this driving to Mass this morning, and I'm surprised every time these thoughts come up, but it's so frequent that it's like, why am I surprised still? But just like praying a little bit in the car, driving to Mass, for whatever reason, I just got the sense that like, Lord, I've been avoiding you, and not in like the hard and fast way. Like I've been going to daily Mass and praying a holy hour, like in the morning. Like by all accounts, I'm not avoiding him and I'm praying, but it would be in the same way that you have an intimate relationship with someone and you only talk about surface level things, you know, mm-hmm. and like, you're not going, there's something you should talk about, but you're kind of fearful as to what they might think about that. And so you'd rather just avoid it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that like revelation was happening as I was driving this morning, like, I haven't given this thing to you, Lord. Like I haven't spoken to you about this. We haven't gone to the depths with this by any means. And it's happening because I'm afraid that you'd be disappointed in me. And like, just that revelation of like, I'm afraid to bring these things to the Lord because I think he's going to be upset with me. And just even in acknowledging that, being able to then receive like, Alyssa, will you just let me look at you like in this moment? Like, you don't understand that I love you so incredibly much that this thing, it could never disappoint me when brought to me. Like, I just want to be with you. Like, I just literally want to remain with you in the mess of your life and the things that you're insecure about and the things that you think I'm going to like turn my face away from. Mm-hmm. Like I just want to be with you. Like, do you know that you're lovely? Like, I want to look at you, you know? And I think we don't, that notion is so foreign to us because like Father's saying, we're grown up, we grow up thinking we have to strive and all these things, that it's difficult when even someone as human as Jesus says those things to us for us to believe them, you know? Mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of murky waters, but that's exactly where things need to be healed, like to receive it from him.
I love that. So did you tell him? Did you break down the walls?
Well, sort of. Yeah. One break at a time.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's not like, here it is.
Well, and you can only do so much when you're driving, you know? Jesus, like, if I close my eyes right now, I will crash this here car, Lord.
Jesus, take me here.
Carrie Underwood knows.
She knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, and I think I kind of said this to Shayna before we began podcasting, but it becomes pertinent here that, like, you can only love something in the measure that you know it well. So I was telling Shayna, like, you can love Hadley in a way that I can't because you're her mom, first of all, but then also you spent time, is experience, is knowledge, is everything, you know, and like what you know about Hadley is far more than I will ever know, you know, and you can love her. Like, I love Hadley, but you love her exponentially more than I do. And, like even you, Alyssa, just the small grace that you received today of how God loves you, like your knowledge of him becomes purified. The way that you mm-hmm. see him becomes purified. And as that becomes purified, you know him better and therefore can love him better mm-hmm. as well. And so, yeah, he doesn't need to learn more about you. He's numbered all the hairs on your head. All 16,000.
I thought you were going to stop at 16. I'm like, don't you dare.
It's like Charlie Brown over here.
Alyssa got her head shaved.
It's frightening.
Where are we going?
So, yeah, I think that knowledge is a precondition for love. Like, you can only love the things that you know. That's why we have so much fear of the things that are unknown. Like, we're scared of the dark. We're scared of unexplored places and spaces. Mm. And as soon as you turn on the light and explore them, they become way less frightening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And actually a place that you can enjoy and spend time in. But then you, even if you, now if you know that place well and we still turn the lights off, it's not totally unfamiliar to you. You know, mm-hmm. it's still a place that you can enjoy.
You'd still sure. feel your way around.
Yeah, exactly. But then that knowledge becomes an avenue, a bridge to trust, and kind of where the relationship can really, it's a, in the book of Sirach, I read this with my discipleship group last week. There's this line, a good friend is a sturdy shelter. He who has found one has found a treasure. Mm. A good friend is a sturdy shelter. And I like that. I mean, what a family is, it's a certain type of friendship, you know, that sort of love. But it's a sturdy shelter. It's a place that you live and move and have your being. It's the place where your personality can come out and thrive. But if you don't have a good friend, if you don't have relationships like established on trust, then you don't have a sturdy shelter. And there's sort of homelessness, like even in this world, you really become a stranger to others and a stranger kind of to yourself too. And that's really off-putting, and kind of the worst of people comes out in those situations. If they're not allowed to thrive in their own being, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Love that thought. Like, if you're not showing others who you are, it's like eventually you're going to lose sight of who you actually are.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Don't want to do that.
Well, how many people play into the thing? Like, I only know that I'm loved insofar as people show me attention. So then you start acting so as to get attention. And then you wake up one day and you're like, I've only been striving to get people's attention for the past 10 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And people's attention goes in ebbs and flows of trends and social things. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, then who are you after 10 years of behaving that certain way? You know, yeah. you almost have to rediscover yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh. That's hard work.
I mean, there is something profound there too, the relationship between loving someone and knowing who they are. And the reverse of it, or the, I guess, foil of it, is the same as well. Like, if I'm honest with myself and tell myself, like, I actually don't believe God loves me. And for a certain season in my life, or a very large period of my life, that was certainly true for myself, you know? Well, the question then becomes, like, if you don't think God loves you, have you let him know you, you know? Like, yeah. have you revealed yourself to him? Like, have you unveiled your heart to him, basically? Like, these things about you, who you think you are. Because he doesn't love an idea of us. Like, he doesn't love the perfected version of us. He doesn't love who we will be one day in heaven. Like, he loves us here and now, you know? And I think the same goes back to that conversation with children. Like, I don't think any parents would say my child is like a prop for my lifestyle. I don't mm-hmm. think any parents would say that.
No.
But do you allow your child to reveal themselves and who they are as a created being, not like some identity that they create, but like their personality and their gifts, and what they're good at and what they struggle with? Like, do you allow them to be revealed in who they are in the context of your family, rather than just praising them for like the advantages that they provide to how your family looks externally, you know? I think that's a big, like, it's the same way. We need to allow ourselves to be known, and when we are loving others, pursue knowledge of them mm-hmm. As well.
Hmm. So how do we share God's love with others? Like, if we see the person, I don't even know if they're like people in our lives that maybe aren't being the best version of themselves, and we could see that, I know, right? and we could see that they like need something more, like maybe they're lacking the trust, or they're just lacking love. Like, how can we share what we've got that strong foundation of, and turn around and help them through the process to find God's love, maybe loving themselves and loving others? Good question, right?
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about yesterday, kind of what the Lord brought to me was, so I haven't even really acted on this, so it may be premature to even say it, but like, I really like talking to people after Sunday Mass, and I really enjoyed those conversations with people. And I'm not lying when I say that I really like the people here and I love talking with them. So it's a great grace for me, but, sometimes it can remain superficial. And what I was frustrated with myself with is just that there's so many gifts that I see in people and I recognize it, and I haven't always taken the opportunity to affirm that in people. And, I think the Lord kind of put it on my heart that I should start being able to share that with people. And that's uncomfortable for me. Like, it would be hopefully probably for most people. Mm-hmm. But like, can you kind of slice through the superficial, the surface, and kind of get to what's most real and just say, hey, I haven't said this to you, but what I really enjoy about you is X, Y, Z thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in you, and I think it's a really positive quality. And that is an example of one way to love people, but it's the thing about, like, I know this about you, I've seen it, and I really love that about you, you know? And there doesn't have to be, obviously, nothing romantic about it, but mm-hmm. Just to be able to share that with other people.
Well, I think it's awesome that you're like, I'm noticing you, like,
mm-hmm.
like yeah. I'm present when you're here. I can see your gifts, and they're like, oh, they feel a little love, and knowing that, oh, he knows that I have this gift, or
right.
My thought process is that, my mind just went to like, there with love is a relationship, and so there is always the lover, the active, and the beloved, the recipient, and so to talk about, I mean, the word love is thrown around in crazy ways in the culture anyways, but to talk about love, like, how do I generally love everyone? Like, I'm not called to be like a Teletubby. Like, I'm not called to just like be this like joyful little like thing that walks. I mean, I am called to exude joy, but it is to be directed at someone because the Lord's love is particular. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of all their names.
I'm thinking of our future Halloween casting.
That'd be pretty good.
Is one of their names Tinky Winky?
Yeah. Dipsy, Lala, and Poe.
Poe.
I think Poe's the red one.
Poe's the red one.
We are not called to be mythical creatures that have like undirected expressions. Like, we are meant to love persons individually. And so I think every occasion that we encounter another human is an occasion to not just do what I think, like, okay, Alyssa, what would be good in this situation? But it's like, my wisdom is so fickle. Like, call on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's more prominent than others. Like, when someone is manifesting, like, deep sorrow to you, or, like, really heavy stories or wounds, or mm-hmm. just, like, sharing in one another's joy, it's easier in the more sobering moments to call on the Holy Spirit than it is when I walk into my, like, kitchen coming home from work, you know, mm-hmm. and get to greet the people I live with, you know? So, yeah, just, I would say how to do it is like not rely on the wisdom of yourself, but trust that like the Lord will reveal to you how to love each person that you encounter if you ask him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are also concrete ways. So I don't, yeah, I'm just riffing.
Oh, because Alyssa said before the podcast, like, we're meant to love everyone differently. You can't love everyone in the same way. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I love Hadley differently than like I love my friends.
Yeah. And if one of your friends started trying to love Hadley like you love Hadley, you'd be like, get away, you psycho.
That's my baby.
Yeah.
Because relationships have, not, boundaries is the wrong word, but relationships are defined. They should be.
Mm-hmm.
DTR, yeah. You know.
What's DTR? I got that question a lot after you used that as a homily.
Oh, yeah. DTR. But I said it in that homily, define the relationship. Yeah.
It was awesome. Sorry. But yes, that's why I was like, I wish the English language had different levels of love. Because I know, like you said, it gets thrown around so loosely. People say, I love tacos. You don't love tacos. Like, you love people.
I would die for tacos.
Not things. And Like sometimes I tell my friends, like, I love you guys. Like sincerely, I love you guys. And I'm like, is that wrong to tell my friends I love them? Because it's not the same love that I love my family. Mm-hmm. It's not the same love in which God loves me or I love him. But it feels right. And I want them to know that I'm not just throwing the word around. Like, mm-hmm. I actually care for you. Mm-hmm. I love this relationship we have, that we could share these moments together. And Bible study, if someone's going through someone, like something, I'm just like, I love you. Like, you have to know, like, so. I was going nowhere with that, but it's just, there are different levels to love each other.
One thing I bring up when I do marriage prep, because I'll often kind of like read, I'll read the marriage vows, the wedding vows to the couple and be able to sit there and let them kind of imbibe it. And then kind of go through it slowly. And one thing that I like to point out, maybe I've said this here before, I don't know, but I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, to be my wife. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. And I think people here love you and then forget the honor part. And when you honor someone, like you acknowledge publicly, like in some public way, and it could just be between the two of you, that you love them. Like I could have an internal love, a movement of affection towards you within me. But to honor you for that makes it sacramental. It makes it incarnate. It makes it like public, as mm-hmm. it were. And I think that's kind of like that's another place that kind of what I was talking about. Like, how do you affirm other people's and your kind of love for them? But I think that's one way that even marriages can grow. Like, do you sincerely compliment your spouse every day? Mm-hmm. That would be a great place to start, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you sincerely compliment the people that you see on a regular basis, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't know if we've gotten to the essence of how do you love people who are, in other words, unlovable. Mm-hmm. Like maybe just currently unlovable. It's hard to... Alyssa? You were like...
I have the answer. No. No, I don't have the answer, but I think... The answer is through Jesus Christ. Like, we have to, and this might sound like a cop-out, whatever. Unless we allow ourselves to be transformed, we will continue to love people in a fallen manner, which is not love. That's just, like, use. So until you begin to start seeing the world sacramentally, until we begin to allow our own hearts to be transformed and healed, everything will remain, like, a socially constructed nuance that Christians are supposed to enact in the world. Like, it will just remain like a thing I'm supposed to do because that's what good Christians do, rather than loving people with the charity of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Which, like, that's a high call. And it means that if I desire to love people better, which I do, I need to, like, do some interior work, which I do.
Daily.
I need to continue to do so, because otherwise it will only be, like, good vibes from Alyssa. And nobody is saved by good vibes from Alyssa.
I hate those good vibes.
I know. And I give them to Father vibes. Often, and they always bounce right back.
No, love the good vibes.
But
it's not enough.
But I would rather love you with the love of Jesus Christ and everyone else who I encounter, you know? And so I think some of the... Yeah, Shana was just sharing some of the stories, just, like, feelings that have arisen recently and situations in which... she's felt unloved or failed to love others. And I think it comes down to, like, if it needs to come from a place of, like, my disposition is to rely on Jesus, to allow him to come forward in this moment and to allow him to not make me afraid and to allow him to love me so that I don't need to act out of a place of insecurity or fear when I'm encountering others. So I think I just got on a pretty tall soapbox. I sat forward in my chair, but
she dove right in.
But, like, yeah, I want, like, Jesus, please transform my heart, because otherwise it's just Alyssa, mm-hmm. and nobody wants Alyssa.
Yeah, because I think I was joking before the podcast about the song "We Are the World, We Are the Children."
We are the world.
What's the next line?
We are the children.
We are the ones called to make a brighter day, so let's start living or something like that.
I love one
like
another.
A good time. No.
Let's do but it. It's just let's a totally, it. It's such a horizontal love. Like it's this kind of the, it's like the brotherhood of humanity without the fatherhood of God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know
it's
how
like watered
I,
down
I don't know how I could call you brother or sister if you don't also call God Father and actually mean that. You know, mm-hmm. And that's where, like, the most profound love is like the charity of Jesus's heart. You know, it's like the love of Jesus's heart, yeah. And that's what I want to love with because mm-hmm. I know my love is fickle and short and impatient and everything like that. So it's like, if I'm gonna love you, I need the grace of God, and I need to be transformed by that grace. You know, mm-hmm. So that's I think that's key. I don't think that's a cop-out. I think it's real.
Praise. Nux. He gave me nux. Good vibes received.
Cha-ching. So, yeah, I guess it just comes down to, I think, if I had to share anything on how people can come to, like, appreciate this lovely gift of love that God has given us, I'd say gratitude. You always got to remember what you're grateful for. Yeah. These are things I do, so you guys can think of some things that you remember how.
I think one thing that needs to be part of the conversation mm-hmm. is just T-shirts with catchy phrases.
Yes. Right now I'm wearing kindness looks amazing on you just for this podcast because I said I love to do that.
Shayna is good with a good graphic tee.
I am.
I love, I don't know who produces these, but I love the Choose Joy shirts.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome. I think I love the shirts. I saw a woman wearing a hat the other day, and it really turned me off. It said, it was a younger person, and I, like, this just reveals the sort of sarcastic humor that it drives me nuts.
What did it say, Father?
Yeah, tell us.
Three words. Care about stuff. And I'm like, I was actually insulted by it. I'm like, no. You can't, like, it just drives me, I can't stand that sort of ironic, sarcastic humor like that. It's like, it's not funny.
You gotta care about something. Why don't I care about stuff?
I do care about stuff. You ain't got any business telling me to care about stuff. You know? I would rather tell you to rather tell me to choose joy.
Choose joy.
That's helpful. See,
shirts are fun. People read them.
They're like, I'm like, this is such a millennial stinking hat phrase thing. I'm like, get over yourself, sister. Mm. That's my soapbox. That's an actual soapbox. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good t-shirt you got there, Shane.
Thank you. I have a Mother Teresa one that says, if you want to promote world peace, love your family. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do.
I love them.
That's a whole... It's another soapbox. I'm sorry.
I don't like your wardrobe,
Shane.
Shane,
go get some popcorn.
Y'all can show up. But I like, everybody's got opinions on how the world should be honestly controlled. Like, everybody has an opinion on political opinion. And, like, I'm totally with them, you know? But then it's like, there's so many things rife in their family that are, like, ready to be loved and entertained and entered into. And it's like, you got to take care of your own house before you take care of anybody else's house, you know? Like, who are you to think that you've got a solution to solve problems with every family when there's stuff going on in yours? Mm-hmm. And, like... This is why we have education. I mean, we should have thoughts and opinions on these things, but I think that it often comes into this self-righteous sophistication mode that we'll enter into. And it's like, mm-hmm. I just get so bored with those conversations. Like, priests sometimes can go into that. And luck, I just kind of shut down, you know, I'm like, I've got my own little kingdom here at St. Clair of Assisi, enough people to consider and be aware of and try to love. Like, I don't need to be thinking about too many politics. So,
yeah.
But that's what the news media does, is like it tries to give you a sense of agency in politics, but then is a constant frustration that you actually contribute nothing to politics. So you're consistently fearful, anxious, and angry, which are powerful emotions, and that's why we re-gear back into watching the news, because it makes it feel like you actually have something to contribute. But mm-hmm. insofar as that you can affect change, it's really little outside of your family.
We're being duped.
That's where you got to start.
You've been duped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just on that topic, there's a funny meme that says, if you watch the news, you're in the middle of a pandemic. If you don't watch the news, it's a Wednesday. I'm like, yep, today's Monday. Okay, show gratitude. I'm just going to finish just one more.
Yeah,
go,
show gratitude.
Please.
And then to touch on the topic of loving others that may, like, either aren't showing you love or driving you crazy, I think it's always good to think about one good thing of that person. Like,
mm-hmm.
look for the good
yeah.
of that person. Appreciate that good.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
And I think, like, seeing the world through eyes of gratitude will aid in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are naturally inclined to just be grateful for the things that are present before you, the good things about others are going to manifest before the bad things.
It's going to come out a lot easier than if you don't notice it. Do you guys have any ways to share?
Even one of my favorite books of all time is, and this is may sound infantile, but...
Green Eggs and Ham.
To Kill a Mockingbird. And I remember being 14 years old and reading that book, and one of the big lessons of it is, Atticus Finch says, until you walk around in another man's mm-hmm. shoes, you can never really know him. And, like, if someone is, like, persistently unlovable for you, and they're still part of your life, and you have to engage them regularly, how do you go about walking in their shoes? And I think it's just so easy to meet somebody at face value and say, like, gosh, you tick me off for this reason, that reason, that reason. And just to explore, like, and I think this is an act of mercy of, like, where could this possibly be coming from? And, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you're actually facing at home, or what you have faced at home, or what your relationships around you are like, or how you've been loved or haven't been loved. And I think one of the greatest things that the Lord calls us to is, like, you find a way to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You need to find a way. Mm-hmm. Like, not to the point that you're going to be abused in a relationship, but, like, if you can give somebody the benefit of the doubt and forgive them, then, like, that's it. Like, it's a serious act of love. It's a serious act of mercy. And I think that's so hard, because we want to condemn really quickly, and we want to accuse and put somebody in a box labeled unlovable, but it's like, find a way mm-hmm. to give them the benefit of the doubt. And then, yeah, you might have to begin the work of forgiveness, but forgiveness is a very serious act of love.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So, Father Andrew said that Alyssa should read some of Corinthians of love is patient.
I don't think he said, I can read it.
No, he did. He did, because you have such a soothing scripture reading voice.
I just used you as an example, but when Shana said that she was going to do this, I'm like, well, what does God have to say about love? And of course, 1 Corinthians came to mind. And I think 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, is actually a really good self-examination if you wanted to go that route and pretty much destroy yourself, actually. To insert your name.
But we did it in Bible study, and it was, like, just a great thing, to insert your name in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right,
mm-hmm.
beginning. I think it would just be fun for her to read it. You don't have to insert your name. You don't have to read it. I can read it.
I can read it. Is that what we're doing?
No, you don't have to insert your name. But as an activity for people to consider doing themselves, mm-hmm. try it. And put your name in instead of love and see if you think it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it doesn't, don't be put out. Like, that's just a place where the Lord gets to enter in.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
Should we close with reading it, though? I will not put my name in it.
Shani, you got thoughts? I mean...
You got thoughts? Yeah, I did.
I mean, have we explored this topic sufficiently?
I think
we're 55 minutes in.
Yeah, I think we have. I just wanted I wanted to show some love to you guys. Mainly
Alyssa.
Are you
paying me?
What?
Are you giving us money?
No.
Better than
love
that.
Is not money.
Oh, what are you
No, saying? I wanted to say Emma Lyon went to Edge this weekend and she was like so excited and on fire. And I've talked to her friends that have done it and they're like, they're just on cloud nine when they walked out of there. And she's already like thinking Edge is every week. And I'm like, well, it's like once a month, but we'll make sure you're there. So just the impact you're having on our youth community is like amazing. And I'm like, I'm excited that Emma Lyon gets to walk in your shoes.
She's awesome. Yeah.
So
thank you for saying that.
Yeah, praise Jesus. I said I wasn't going to do Sparks, but I had to show love.
That's awesome. Okay.
So you don't have to share. I just want to say that. If anybody has anything to share, you can.
No, it's good.
Perfect. Yeah. All right.
Now. Thanks, Emmy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just close with this. How about that? Mm-hmm. Jesus, we just ask that you would, wherever we are, speak a word to us. Reveal to us how you are calling us to love where we fall short of love, and teach us to receive your love better. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial shall pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you. All right, everyone.
Good topic, Shane.
Yeah.
Go out and love your neighbor and your family.
Do it. Love yourself. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.